Do you ever get a new book, say a novel, and flick to the end and read the end of the story? Yes. Never. I love reading. I've always loved reading. Ever since I was a little kid, I've always loved reading. And these days, I use a Kindle. Now, you know what it is with a book? If you're a book lover, a new book has a certain kind of smell. Doesn't it, Jill? It just smells. And do you ever sort of inhale a new book? Or am I the only one that does this? No, that's quite interesting to know. I'm almost normal. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. The only advantage is, I think there's about 100 books on here. And you could have thousands of books on here. But it's just not quite the same. I love when you get a new book and you crack it open for the first time. But I occasionally skip to the end of a story. Because one of the things that I really don't like is that you wade through a book and you get to the end and it's a rubbish ending. It's all like coincidences and like this whole story's been building up and then in two pages it just folds. And I don't really like that. But we don't normally start stories by looking at the very end. As that sort of very famous religious person said, we start at the very beginning because it's a very good place to start. Sister Maria, she used to say that, didn't she? Now, in this series over the last few weeks that we've been looking at, we've been looking at different people's lives. And what I want to do today is actually go to the end of the story first. Because I think it's really important to look at the end of the story, because then by going backwards we get a little bit of an idea of what the story was really about at the start. Now normally when you put a message together you don't normally do that. What you try to do is you unfold it towards that point. But today I'm going to do it the other way around and we're going to go backwards. And if you've got a Bible with you, we're going to look at the story of this man called Caleb. And if you've got your Bible with you, we're going to go starting off into the book of Joshua and Joshua chapter 14. Now in Joshua chapter 14, let me give you a little bit of a context to the story. A couple of weeks ago, Paul spoke about Moses and this incident at the burning bush, and where this voice, God comes out of the bush and says to Moses, I want you to go and set my people free. And that's a wonderful story that Paul told us about how Moses looked at himself and he said, who am I? I can't do this. And God says, I'm sending you to go and do this. And what he sent him to do was to go to Egypt and to say to Pharaoh, you've got to let my people go. And eventually we all know the story, that what happened was they went and they crossed the Red Sea and the whole nation of Israel ended up in the wilderness wandering around until they get to the edge of the promised land. A land that had been promised to them, a land that was full of milk and honey. And if we look at the end of the story, we actually see that they did inherit this land. And when we get to this passage here in the book of Joshua, we see that a lot of things have happened. In fact, about 46 and a half years have gone by since they actually entered into this area. And they're there on the edge of this promised land that God said that they were going to have. And they'd inherited it. And we see that parts of this land is now being broken up for the individual tribes and the individual clans. And one section of the land is being given to this man called Caleb. And what I want to do is look at what you could imagine was his like acceptance speech that he gave when he received this piece of land. If you want to put that verse on for us, James, that would be great. So Joshua chapter 14, verses 10 to 12. Now, then, just as the Lord promised, this is Caleb speaking, and he's speaking to the whole nation of Israel. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. Now these are really, these words, I love these next words. So I'm here, I am here today, I'm 85 years old. And I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out and do battle now as I was then. Joe, when you're 85, you're going to be going down that slide, no problem at all. So here I am today, 85 years old. I would love to have met Caleb on that day. There's something about the vitality of those words. There's something about that just captures me. What a man it must have been to be with him on that day. He must have been a very captivating and engaging person to be with him. How many 85-year-old people do you know like that? Actually, you might say, I don't know many 45-year-old people who are like that. But there was something different about this man. There was something about him that he says at this point in his life, nothing's changed. I'm still as strong as I was 46 years ago. I'm still up for it. I'm still ready for the battle. Almost, bring it on. Bring it on. He seemed somehow to have a wonderful perspective on his life. We know from Scripture that in the early part of the Old Testament, people lived for a long, long time. But by the time we get to this part of the history of the children of Israel, we know that one of his contemporaries actually died when he was 110. So we could sort of surmise that Caleb is perhaps in the last, he's out of the autumn, he's almost into the winter of his life. And yet he's still saying, I'm as strong as I was. Perhaps if we could learn something about this man, perhaps if we could learn something about what it was that filled this man, and maybe if we could apply that to our life, perhaps it might do something in giving us a different perspective on our life, whether we're 85 or whether we're 15. There's something I think that we can learn when we look at this man. But let's sort of move back from the end of the story and let's rewind it a bit to the middle of the story. Let's go back about 46 years to see if we can find out what made him special. What was it that made him different? And if you've got your Bibles, if not, there's some words will come up on the screen. We're going to go back to Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 14. And I want to look at verse 24. If you want to pop that up. Thanks, James. Now, this is a really interesting perspective because this is God speaking. And if you want to get the perspective on something, it's probably pretty good to know what God's perspective is on something. And in this instance, to get God's perspective on Caleb. And we're going to rewind the story a little bit more and see why God is saying this in a minute. But look what God says about this man, Caleb. Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land. This was the land that he was saying 46 years later, thank you very much for giving it to me, I'm still as strong. The promise came true. It took 46 years. We could talk about patience, but it took 46 years, but it came true. But this is what God's saying about this man. He has a different spirit. Now in Hebrew, the word there, spirit, and I don't profess to be a great Hebrew scholar or anything like that, courtesy of that great invention called Google, it's amazing what you can actually find if you do a bit of research. But the word spirit in Hebrew can be translated to have lots of different meanings. Lots of different meanings. It can mean to breathe, to smell, or by implication to perceive something. And so this could be a description of this man's disposition. Or perhaps another way could be looking at it. It's a description of his attitude. There was something about his attitude. There was something about his spirit that was really, from God's perspective, different. If we look a little bit deeper and we look at the Hebrew name of Caleb, we get a little bit more of an indication. Now, some of you will know that names throughout the Bible are really important things. God gives people's names, and people's names have a really important significance to who they are. Well, Caleb, which is the Hebrew way of saying Caleb, means like a heart. Like a heart. You could say Caleb was all heart. Perhaps what distinguished this man in the eyes of God, and 46 years later, that there was something in him that was different, and that was his heart. When I was a kid growing up, my mum used to say to me from time to time, because she used to say, "You're mouthy, Peter." Now, I know you find that hard to believe. And she used to say, "Change your attitude." Did anybody else ever have that? Yeah, change your attitude. Now, the question is it possible to change your attitude? They say, don't they, that the world is split into two parts. And you could look at it this way. Now, I would say I think the world's split into two parts. There's dog lovers and cat lovers, but that would just get me into a lot of problems. But they say when you look at this, how you see this distinguishes the way that you see the world. What is it? We had a few half empties and we had a few half fulls. But I think it's probably a little bit too simplistic to say that the world is just split that way. That we have an attitude that we either see the world as always half full or we always see the world as half empty. I know some positive people, and it's nice to be around positive people, and there's some people, no matter what the circumstance, they can put a positive spin on it. And actually being around those kind of people, it's nice to be around those people. But we also know other people who could be the other way around. And you say, "How are you?" "Not too bad considering." "Well, considering what?" Or, "Well, it could be better." "So-so." I was thinking, "It could be better." Where's that on the scale? You know, if "could be better" is a 2, what's a 5 like? But I think it's a bit simplistic to just say that the whole world could be split that easily, because I think all of us at times, depending upon the circumstances of our life, things that can happen to us, things that we have no control over, it can be very difficult sometimes to see the world as a half full place. It looks a bit more like a half empty. One of the famous definitions of attitude was by Carl Jung, and he said this. He said, "Attitude is this: it's the readiness of the psyche to act or react in a certain way." And this prompts a question in me: how did this man Caleb act or react in a certain way? And there's a big difference between the two, in acting on something or reacting on something. And for the answer to that question, we need to actually rewind the tape a little bit more, and we need to now go to the beginning of the story. And if we go back to the beginning of the story, we're at this point where the children of Israel have crossed into the, heading towards the promised land. They've crossed the Red Sea, and they've wandered around a little bit, and they're now on the edge. And Moses says, "We need to go and check out this land. This is the land that God has given us. And I'm going to get 12 of the leaders together, and I'm going to send them out to go and spy out the land that God has given us." And if you've got your Bibles, you could have a look at that. We're going to look at chapter 13 of Numbers. And I just want to read a few lines And we'll look at them. So chapter 13 is some of the passages that Joe read earlier. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. I mean, there really is a really interesting thing. It's a done deal. Go and investigate this land. I'm giving it to you. Not, well, go and see what it's like and maybe, you know, if you think it's good, you can have it. No, it's a done deal. God said this to him. And from each of these tribes send one of its leaders. So is the list of all these leaders that God says. And he says, he gives them some specific instructions. He says, when you go there, go and see what it's like. Go and investigate it all. Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they walled or fortified? What's the soil like? Go and have a good spy round at this land, because we were always told that it was going to be a land full of milk and honey. I wonder if that's true. I wonder if that's true. Well, they go and do it. Now, that must have been an adventure. Talk about going down a slide. That must have been a bit of an adventure. And they go out and they do the tour of the land. And they're gone for 40 days. And then one day in the distance, somebody spies this bit of a cloud of dust. They're coming back. They're coming back. Can you imagine what the anticipation would have been like in the whole camp? You know what it's like when the leadership team get together and they have a meeting? How excited we are to hear about the decisions that the leadership team have made after that event. You know what that's like, that anticipation, don't you? But the whole nation must have heard. There must have been a rumour. There must have been a buzz. Hey guys, they're coming back. They're coming back. They've been wandering all this time, complaining that they haven't got this and complaining that they haven't got that. And here's this land with milk and honey, and the report's coming back in. And as they walk into the camp, two of the guys have got a branch, and hanging on this branch is one bunch of grapes. Wow, perhaps it's true. Perhaps this land really is full of milk and honey. So they all stand there and they start to give the description. It's really true. The land is full of milk and honey. Look at these grapes. And then there's one little three-letter word that comes in. But. Isn't it amazing how, in a sentence, that one word can suddenly completely change the whole thing? So here's this most amazing event that's taking place. And all of a sudden, but. Oh man, you want to see the size of the people. You want to see how fortified those villages are. You want to see how tough it is there. It's amazing how one single comment, one negative comment, can suddenly change everything in an instant. Something that was really positive, something can then suddenly be really negative in an instant. And usually it is bridged by that word, but. But then steps up our man, Caleb. And he comes up and he stills the crowd. And he says these words. He says, we should go up. We should go up and take this land. We can certainly do it. Here he is. This is the man with this spirit in him. This is the man with the optimism in him. This is the man with this vitality inside him. He's been on the same tour bus. He's seen the same things. He's seen the same villages that are fortified. He's seen the same size of the people. But what does he say? He says, we can do it. He has this vital optimism in him. This heart. This sense of spirit that is in him. And it makes him a different man. The problems were exactly the same. They were no different. But the way that he viewed them had a considerable impact. He had a totally different perspective. If we move forward a little bit, if you've got your Bibles, we can understand where his perspective is coming from. Because what happens in the story is panic spreads throughout the camp. The 10 negative opinions about the situation cause panic in the camp, until everybody's wailing and crying and saying, we would have been better if we'd have stayed in Egypt. We would have been much better if we'd have stayed there. They forgot how bad it was. But we'd have done much better if we could have stayed there. And again, our man comes forward and he says this. He says, don't be afraid of the people in the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. See, the difference with what Caleb did than the others is who he looked at. He looked at the others, looked at the size of the problem, and they were real problems. They weren't trying to sugarcoat them. They weren't trying to make it up. They weren't trying to hide the issue. He wasn't trying to say, oh, no, it's just nothing. Because sometimes there are real problems in our life. We have real issues that we have to deal with. But what Caleb did was he didn't look at the problem and then look at himself and said, look how big they are and look how small I am. He said, look how big the problem is, but look how big God is. He had a different perspective on the situation. He wasn't trying to whitewash it. He wasn't trying to say, you know, let's put a rah-rah attitude on it and, you know, everything's going to be good. He wasn't doing that. But he got a different spirit in him. And that spirit was saying, yes, there's a problem. There's challenges that we're going to face. And we know, because we know the end of the story, there was 46 years worth of challenges he had to face before he inherited this land that God was going to give him. But he looked not at the problem, but who could bring the solution. So what can we learn and apply about this in our own life? Life can sometimes be like a trip to the promised land. We can sometimes look to the future and we can see that potentially there could be milk and honey, but actually there's some fortified cities there. There's some challenges to face. There's some battles that we're going to have to deal with. And sometimes that can look so big and we can look so small, and it ends us with us having the wrong perspective on it. One of my favourite books, James, if you want to click it over for me, is a book by M. Scott Peck, which is called The Road Less Travelled. And the opening lines of that book says this: life is difficult. This is a great truth, one of the greatest truths. You know, somebody else said something similar. If you want to flick it over for us, James. In this world, you will have trouble. Now here's a good but. Here's a good but. I have overcome the world. Where was Caleb's focus? His focus was not on himself. His focus was not on the problem. His focus was on the one who could bring a solution to that problem. And in that way, he had this different spirit. And I think we can learn something about that. I think we can learn something about that, and I think we can apply that to our lives, because we're all going to face different kinds of challenges in our life. That's just the way life is. But how we deal with those and the perspective that we have with them is totally down upon the way that we bring our perspective to the problem. I think my mum was right in that, yes, you can change your attitude. I think there are some of us that are predisposed to one or the other sometimes, and that's just the way it is. But I do think there is also ways that we can ourselves choose what our attitude is going to be for the future. It was his attitude that marked him as different. It was his heart that marked him as different. It was his spirit that marked him has as different. Flick it over for us, James, onto that. I love this translation of the Message translation of the Bible altogether, but particularly this verse. You know, sometimes we are going to be down in dumps. It's just not, you know, you watch the television sometimes and you see the cereal adverts and everybody every morning just jumps out of bed and the world's perfect, isn't it? It's like that other advert for the woman who goes to bed with constipation and she has a pill and wakes up and the whole world is fantastic the next morning. Everything has changed. But it's not really like that, is it? You know, it's not. It'd be great maybe if it could be, but the reality is this. But this is, again, where do we put our focus? Where do we place our focus? Do we focus on the problem or do we focus on the solution in God? Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God and soon I'll be praising again. It might take a little bit of time. It took Caleb 46 years. But he'll put a smile on our face because he's my God. What a perspective that would be if we could just remember to do that, whatever the circumstance we face. There's so much more that is in this passage. It's just such a wonderful story. Whether you look at it from the end to the beginning or the beginning to the end, it's just full of so many things that we could learn from. But I want to close by going back to the end of the story. So here I am. I'm 85 years old. Still as strong. Still as vigorous as the day that I was. Job read a verse right at the beginning, and we didn't know what we were going to be talking about today at all. We didn't have any communication about that at all. And she says, be strong in your heart, was the verse that Joe read first thing today. Be strong in your heart. And if you remember, the name Caleb means like a heart. I'm reading a fascinating book, actually rereading it again at the moment, by a French psychologist, and it's called The Warmth of the Heart Prevents the Body from Rusting, which just captivated me as a title for a book anyway. But it's a book about something that we all will face, and some of us are facing it in different ways than others. And this is the fact that we're all going to get old. And it's how do you face aging without being old? And I think that that's a really interesting question. She writes about facing this golden age, as she calls it, of our lives, accepting the inevitability of aging, but not getting old. I think this is Caleb. I think this is Caleb. She writes about a belief that there's something within us that never grows old. Something deep within us. There's something that never ever is going to change. No matter what happens physically to the bodies that we've got. And do you know what it is? It's our spirit. It's that heart. It's what Caleb had. It's what marked him out as a different man. The heart that I refer to, she writes, is that inexplicable, incomprehensible force that keeps us alive. Joe says as you get older, courage fails you. I think some kinds of courage fail us because physically maybe we can't do the same things that we did when we were younger. But there's something within us that should never fail us. That courage and that heart that's within us aren't physical qualities, but they're attributes of the soul. Like Caleb, I think that we can, irrespective of our age, we can be spiritually alive. We can be spiritually strong. We can spiritually have heart. And we can shine stronger as the years progress. You know what it comes down to? Like my mum said, maybe we need to change our attitude. There was something that gave him strength and vigour when he was 85 that I would like. I'd like a bit of that. I don't know about you. So for the next 7 days, when we face challenges, as I'm sure we will do, and some of them may seem overwhelming, and some of them really will be, perhaps, overwhelming challenges, where do we look? Do we look at ourselves against the size of the problem? Or do we look at God in relation to the problem? For the last verse, this I think could be one of my life verses. Above all else. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of our lives. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that as we've looked through this series of people in the Bible, we can learn so much about these different people and what happens to them, and apply it to our own lives and take lessons from their mistakes, lessons from the things they did right, things they did wrong, and we can apply it. And Father, I pray today that you'd help us to understand this man Caleb, that he was no different from us. He was a human being just like us. And I'm sure he had days when the world wasn't as sunny as it was other days. But there was something about him that you saw that marked him as different. He had a different perspective. He had a different heart. And I pray, Father, that over this next 7 days, that you will give us the strength that we need to guard our hearts, to guard that part within us which is this wellspring of life. Regardless of our age, Father, that you would help us to guard this, that you would keep it vital, that you would keep it alive, that you would keep it vibrant, just as you did in this man, Caleb. And at that moment when we need to make a choice to move it in that direction, God, give us the strength and bring it back to our mind that we might do it. Father, we want to not be singing a blues and not be looking downhearted, because we know that our strength and our hope lies in you. In Jesus' name.